they're concerned about. With all the bombs, I'm sure on Friday night all of you heard the alarm, the bomb shelter or whatever. But even if the UW Shrine will be safe, probably so, but certainly we have our brothers and sisters to the north of us, to the south of us especially, that are getting missiles every single day, several times a day. And when they hear an alarm, they don't have 2 minutes to go to a bomb shelter. They have maybe 15 seconds to go to a bomb shelter and the like. Really, their lives are really thrown into a tremendous amount of turmoil, and we have to know, of course, that the mitzvot that we do are a great support that brings down the rachamim of Shemayim on all people that need help. And even going back to the United States, you know, still that many people were devastated, they lost their homes, money in the hurricane, and they too need rachamim. Many of family are suffering, still. Far Rockaway, Oceanside, Seagate, totally wiped out. Parts of New Jersey still don't have power. So when these very unusual and turbulent events happen in the world, they are always a sign from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we should give Shuba, turn to Him. And then we have the hope that He will answer our prayers and give us a Yeshua. I wanted to talk a little bit, again, about last week's part about the story of Yaakov and Esav, because I think there's an important lesson that we learned from this parsha. And that is, there's so many questions about the way Yaakov gets the brachos and takes it away from Esav. And we have these questions when we're children, and we have these questions when we're adults as well. And that is, how could Yaakov, that's supposed to be a tzaddik and a righteous man, and indeed the quality of Yaakov that is described in Tanakh, is that Yaakov is ish emes, the man of truth, and he gets these brachos by fraud and deception and impersonation. How could Yaakov do it? But we can ask a more basic question, and that is, if Yitzchak intended to bless Esav, a bracha is not like a magic thing, you know, I was there. If you intended that Esav should get the bracha, then Esav gets the bracha. I mean, let's say Mr. Smith wins a lottery ticket. And I impersonate Mr. Smith and I get the money. Well, when I discover that I'm not Mr. Smith, I gotta give the money back. Yitzchak gave a bracha to a person he thought was Esav. If it's not Esav, it's no bracha. And finally, the third question is actually the easiest question. I'll start off with that. That is, how could Yitzchak be fooled? What was Yitzchak's supposition that Esav is more deserving of a bracha? Why should that be so? Now, that third question is the easiest of the questions, at least. And there are a number of mahalkim that are given. The Avraham Gadol actually says Yitzchak was fooled into thinking that Esav was a righteous person. Yitzchak was fooled. Yitzchak did not know the emes. Number one, Esav was in fact very conscientious in the mitzvah of Kibbutz. Whether it was the Shem Shemayim or not is another question, but Esav kept that mitzvah. Number two, Esav would ask, as Rashi says, very pious religious questions, such as, how do you take truma and maser from water and salt and straw, which we don't have to take off? Yitzchak was impressed by his piety. So the Abarbanel simply says, Yitzchak thought Esav was a tzaddik. Now, in other Sfarim, they go a little further and they explain that because Yitzchak was such a holy person, Yitzchak didn't understand duplicity. He didn't understand hypocrisy. He didn't understand that a person could look like one type of person and be a different type of person. In fact, we'll see. Some say that the whole idea of Yaakov impersonating was to show Yitzchak there's such a thing as mirma in the world, and therefore he should understand. That's what Esav did. In fact, Al Pidrush, you know, Rashi brings a medrash that Yitzchak couldn't see. because he was blinded by the tears that the Malachim shed at the Akedah. So in the Sifrei Chassidus, they learned this in a non-literal way, that Yitzchak's connection with the angels made him blind to the sheker in this world. A person who perceives the emes of the olam ha-emes will sometimes not see the sheker in the olam ha-sheker. So that's what the Abarbanel says, although he doesn't say this last thing, and then we can augment the Abarbanel with this last thought. But there's a big problem with the Abarbanel. That is, it is very clear that Yitzchak understood that Esav was not a big son. And we have two proofs that Yitzchak understood that Esav was not a big son, even before this trip. Proof number one is, right before this whole parsha of the Brachos, it says Esav married two Canaanite wives from Benos Chetz, from the Chetim. And the Pasuk says it was a Moras Ruach. It was a source of bitterness to Yitzchak and Rivka that Esav married Canaanite women. So Esav didn't do what Yitzchak wanted him to do.